Welcome to Extension 720 on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest on the line is in Chicago this week for a book signing. Chelsea Clinton has just released a new children's book called Don't Let Them Disappear, 12 Endangered Species Across the Globe. It's a book that helps kids understand the realities of endangered species and extinction and what we can do to help keep the animal kingdom thriving on this planet. Clinton is a New York Times bestseller for her book, She Persisted, 13 American Women Who Changed the World. She's also the author of Start Now, You Can Make a Difference, among others. Clinton, of course, has been a global advocate for healthcare, but it's her books directed at middle schoolers that's garnering a lot of attention. She's writing for 10 to 14-year-olds. She'll be at Women and Children First Bookstore in Andersonville on Thursday night, and she's my guest on Extension 720. Ms. Clinton, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Justin. And please call me Chelsea.
Great. Thanks, Chelsea. First of all, I just want to ask about the middle schooler concept here. To write your books towards middle schoolers, why do that? Why not, write to five-year-olds or to teenagers? What is it about the middle school population that you're trying to get at?
Well, my first book, It's Your World, which I wrote a few years ago, was really oriented to kind of middle schoolers and early high schoolers, because that was the age when I first became really activated. You know, I was in kind of fourth, fifth, sixth grade when I first started to just be aware of kind of what was happening in my local community in Little Rock, and also I first not fell in love with elephants, but really wanted to do what I could to try to stop elephant poaching and stop the ivory trade and save elephants. It was that age when my social kind of awareness and conscience kind of caught fire. And I'm so thankful to my mom, my grandmother, my teachers who really supported my efforts to raise awareness about elephant poaching or start my school's first recycling program and do so much more. So I first started to write for that age because I remember so vividly when I was that age and I wanted to be informed and I wanted to be empowered. And so I write books today for kids and young people I meet, and what they tell me kind of is on their minds, on their hearts, what they want to know more about, what they want to be able to do, and also admittedly, Justin, for the kid that I once was. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that Don't Let Them Disappear really can be for anyone of any age and for families and classrooms to learn about these animals and then learn what they can do to try to save them.
And you're really talking about 12 specific species, and I've noticed this, and whether it be with Netflix and the BBC and National Geographic, but there seems to be an emphasis right now, especially on television programs, to tell more about the world's stories, talk about the species across the globe. This book kind of fits into that realm. I feel like there seems to be a resurgence of telling the story of these species. Do you see it that way, or are we kind of forgetting about the endangered species and the fight that goes to bring them back?
Both. I mean, I'm so grateful that there is more of an emphasis now than there was a few years ago on kind of talking about how precarious so many of these species are. You know, we have more than 16,000 endangered plants and animals around the world, and more species are added literally every month. We have more than 1,000, you know, here in the United States. But truly, if we don't change kind of what we're doing, could disappear in our lifetimes or in our kids' lifetimes. And so I think, thankfully, we are paying more attention to kind of the crisis of endangered species, and yet I clearly think even more attention should be paid, and I just wrote a whole book about it for kids and young readers, because I have interviewed now so many kids about kind of what's on their mind, and so many kids tell me, Justin, like, they care a lot about climate change, and they care a lot about animals. And sometimes it's helping ensure everybody knows how to take care of their pets appropriately. Sometimes it's, you know, wanting to help ensure that animals at the local shelter are being well cared for. But often it's like, I want to save tigers, polar bears, giraffes. And I find that really inspiring, and I want to be part of trying to help them do that.
Yeah, as you tour the country and stop at not just bookstores, but at zoos and other places, are you getting that from the kids that you're reading to, that you're involved with, that they seem to understand what this book is about and recognize that they can do something about it?
Yes. I mean, so many of kind of the greatest moments from my book tour so far really are kids coming and telling me about their kind of favorite animal, you know, the panda, or their favorite animal, the rhino, and now what they're going to try to do to save them. I mean, that's really why I wrote this book. Admittedly, Justin, I also last week had, I think, four people on the same day tell me that their favorite animals were unicorns, and they wanted to try to save unicorns. And as a parent, I didn't really know what to say to that because I didn't want to discourage that interest and activism. So I just had to say, like, good luck.
Yeah, that's your truth. Go for it.
Saving the unicorns.
Your work, you know, on a global stage, when you're working, obviously, as a health advocate, but also visiting in different countries, is the world engaged in this fight? Is this something that you're seeing more in the United States and as opposed to some third world countries? Or is everybody have sort of a stake in this and understand what's at stake when it comes to endangered species?
I think some of the most important activism and advocacy and conservation work is happening in the countries and led by people in those countries, kind of where these animals are native to. And so there are extraordinary efforts, even if we think about elephants, you know, across like Central and Southern Africa, where it's the local wildlife rangers who are doing everything they can to fight poaching, and it's the local legislatures who are strengthening the anti-poaching and anti-trafficking laws around ivory, and it's the judges who are ensuring that those are enforced, and it's so many local advocates, and often particularly women, who are really kind of ensuring there's public appreciation and support for all those efforts. So I think this is really a global issue, and we have to tackle it, you know, in a global way, because, you know, again, just thinking about ivory, you know, while elephants are being slaughtered in their home countries, you know, that ivory is likely winding up here in the United States.
Yeah, right.
The U.S. is the second largest ivory market after China. And it's still legal in Illinois to buy and sell ivory. So for any listeners who want to try to help save elephants, you make sure it's on the agenda of your governor and your state legislatures. Because I don't think it's something most people want to have happen if they know about it. And it's not, you know, a partisan issue in our country. It's just something we have to put on the agenda and ensure there's attention paid to it so we could try to restrict, or in my ideal world, ban the sale of ivory so that there isn't that market, so there isn't the reason to kill these elephants, and then they can thrive, you know, well into the future and not disappear in our children's lifetimes.
Right. Chelsea Clinton's my guest. She's the author of Don't Let Them Disappear, 12 Endangered Species Across the Globe. She's going to be at the Women and Children's First Bookstore in Andersonville coming up on Thursday night. That's a great point you mentioned about it. Is the pathway to deal with endangered species and trying to bring those populations back, is it through local government? Is the idea not maybe specifically to the countries, of course, that where these animals may be indigenous, but when you're talking about the state of Illinois, or you're talking about even local county municipalities, is it really one of these things that needs to be dealt with at every level of government?
I think the answer to that is yes, and also kind of outside of government. And we know that young people can play such a powerful role here because we've seen it happen before. You know, in the 1970s, we almost wiped out our bald eagle population here in the United States, the symbol of our country, the symbol of our country since the founding of the United States. And partly through the devastating effects of the pesticide DDT, but also partly because trophy hunting was so popular and so many people had stuffed bald eagles like on their mantelpieces or their desks, you know, their bookshelves. You know, bald eagles had almost been pushed to extinction. And young people, like particularly Boy Scout and Girl Scout organizations, but also others, really led the cry kind of with parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, teachers, friends, community members to say, like, that's just not acceptable. Like, we don't want to come home or come to visit your house and see a bald eagle. And that really helped shift, like, what we thought was acceptable and kind of cool and beautiful. And so I think it's, yes, like, what local governments say is acceptable and not, and state and the national government here in the U.S. It's also kind of what families decide to spend money on or spend time on or not. So I hope that young people, even if they're not old enough to vote or run for office yet, do put pressure on their state legislatures to do things like ban ivory.
Right.
But also talk to the adults in their life about why they don't think they should be buying anything ever made with ivory or buying anything ever made with palm oil kind of from a place that was cut down where orangutans used to roam. So there's so much that kids and young people can do.
And Chelsea, it's interesting, too, because you think about the activism at the middle school age or young age or high school that's really kind of moving our country in different ways. And I think about, you know, you're as a global advocate for healthcare, you know, obviously you're front and center when it comes to some of the issues when it comes to infectious diseases. Obviously, we're having a measles outbreak in the United States, and it's something that you wouldn't necessarily think would be happening in a first world country like the United States of America. Yet it is, because of combinations of an anti-vaxxer movement and other factors. But maybe this is a, kind of the same thing, where it seems to maybe young people have to lead the way to say that, you know, some of the misinformation that's out there needs to be, you know, we need to get rid of it and be able to deal with vaccinating our kids and things like that, because it doesn't seem to be working at with the older folk.
I mean, I think clearly science denialism is this huge challenge in our country. And we see this in kind of the conversations around climate change and certainly around vaccines. I mean, it is heartbreaking to me that we have more than 700 confirmed cases of measles in our country. And the CDC says that the vast majority of these people have never been vaccinated. So I hope anyone who's listening who's thinking about going to get vaccinated, please, please do. Because even one kind of first dose of the MMR vaccine provides so much protection, not only to you, but to the people around you. And thankfully, Justin, to your point, you know, we do have young people saying, like, I want to get vaccinated. I know this is what science says is healthy for me and for my community. And I think young people can be really powerful messengers, advocates, activists, and agents of helping to educate everyone around them about kind of what really are the facts of vaccination, or what really are the facts around endangered species. Because one of the big challenges around endangered species is that a lot of people think, like, oh, you can safely remove a lion's mane. Like, no, you can't safely remove a lion's mane, right? Or you can, like, safely, like, remove ivory from an elephant, or a rhino horn from a rhino, or a fin from a whale saw. No, like, all of those things generally lead to those animals dying, often wrenching, horrific deaths. And so I think young people really, you know, I couldn't agree more, Justin, can help articulate, like, what is true and not true, like, what are real facts, whether we're talking about vaccination or protecting endangered species.
My last question for you, Chelsea, just has to do with 2020. We saw a historic campaign with your mother back in 2016, and in 2020 shaping up to be another big contest. My question to you, as you hear more and more Democrats kind of line up, is just about whether or not the candidate for president should be a woman. That this is something that, you know, your mom was a trailblazer, and they want to see that continue. Where do you stand on that? Do you believe that the Democrat nominee should be female?
Well, our New York primary is not until next March, so I'm going to spend a lot of time, like, listening and learning about the candidates. But I will say, Justin, I'm really excited we have so many women running. I think we have six, at least, women running in the Democratic primary. And so, in the best sense, it is still so exceptional and increasingly less exceptional, because all of these women are proving what's possible by the campaigns they're running every day. So I certainly hope that there will be a woman and a Democratic progressive woman president in my lifetime. And I think it's really terrific that my daughter and my son are kind of growing up in a world where so many women are running for office, including for the presidency. But I just think it's too early to know who I think the right answer will be, because we have a lot more to listen to and learn from the candidates. And I'm just really looking forward to all the substantial and substantive debates ahead and all the contributions that the women who are running will make to those.
There you go. Chelsea Clinton will be in Chicago this Thursday at Women and Children First Bookstore in Andersonville for book signing for her book, Don't Let Them Disappear, 12 Endangered Species Across the Globe. Chelsea, thanks so much for taking some time out. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much, Justin. Thank you. Take care.